Hello, nurturing parents, and welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. We are happy to have you join us today because, you know, at the end of the month, we love to do our little special episodes, whether it be a Q&A or like we just started our coaching sessions. So we found another brave super mom that will join us today. And yes, she is a super mom. She has 5 kids. I cannot imagine. When I met my mother-in-law, this is a side note, by the way, she's 1 of 15. That literally blew my mind. And I think about that almost every single day, how her mom woke up and provided for 15 kids. That's crazy to me. And so Danette came to us because her 5 kids are just bickering and fighting. So if you want to hear what it's like being in a house with 5 kids, stay tuned for this episode. Our mom Danette, who joins us today, she's really incredible. She's super sweet, and I'm sure you can relate. At the end, we also have a little special clip from last month's coaching session, so make sure you stay tuned for that. I also wanted to let you know we have a special Mother's Day sale, so our coaching prices will be discounted for the next 2 weeks. So this sale will end on Mother's Day, but if you purchase a coaching package from now to Mother's Day, you will receive a special discount. So make sure that you email us if you are interested, or you can go ahead and DM us on Instagram. And let's dive into this week's episode.
Hey, Mama, welcome to the Nurturing Parent Podcast. Do you want to end the constant battles for bath time? Do you find yourself emotionally exhausted at the end of the day? Do you wake up with big hopes for a smooth day of fun with your little ones, only to face an early morning meltdown because you peeled their banana the wrong way?
Silly you.
Silly you.
Hey, I'm Serena. I am a mama of 2 little ones, and as a new mama, I constantly question myself. I wanted to make sure I was raising respectful kids while also building a strong bond with them. But I discovered that I had to unlearn my ideas that punishment was the way. With Amalisa's encouragement, I've been practicing a respectful and gentle parenting approach, which is strengthening our bond as a family.
And hi, I'm Amalisa. Amma means grandmother in Icelandic. I am a mama and an amma. And I have over 40 years of experience in child care and parent coaching. And I am so excited to share the knowledge I've gained over these years with you.
Together in this podcast, each week we will explore some easy to implement skills you can add to your parenting tool belt to help you create a happy, thriving family.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi, Danette. Sitting here with you today, Danette, to record our second live coaching episode really gives me a lot of different feelings, actually. So first of all, gratitude to you for reaching out to us and for being willing to jump on board with us here. So I just do want to let our listeners know a little bit about you before we dive into our coaching.
Yeah.
So Danette is a mother of 5, a 9-year-old boy, 2 8-year-old girls, twins, a 4-year-old boy, and a 15-month-old girl. Danette works full time currently, and dad is at home with the kids. And Danette, you shared with me recently, or just a few minutes ago, that even though you're working away from home full time, you're still kind of managing the whole family.
Yeah.
And that's why you're here with us instead of dad.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like, yeah, that's a lot of who we are as mamas, right? Like, we hold the world of our family, whether we're in person 24/7 or not. We are holding the world of our family and keeping it all running to a large extent.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you were reading Danette's background about her kids and their ages, it sounded like a resume, and like each kid, you can imagine the duties underneath each kid. And then at the bottom, job, full-time job as well.
I know. So first of all, Danette, I just want to say to you, thank you. I don't know how you have the wherewithal to actually take the time to write to us. And in the message part of the email, it said, subject line of the email, it said, "Mom who is drowning, help." And honest to goodness,
Yeah.
anybody listening to this is going to say, yeah, five children under 10 years old, and you're working full time, and two of your children have autism diagnoses. One is diagnosed with ADHD, and one has severe separation anxiety, and the fifth one is a toddler. So
Yes.
well done, Mama, to take the time to actually reach out. That's a huge step. So yeah, very, very impressive.
Oh,
And
thank you.
so you said, Danette, that you come from a strict upbringing, and there was a lot of what you called emotional upheaval in your family of origin.
Yes.
And you have a deep desire to break that cycle and to
Absolutely.
parent with empathy and understanding.
Yes.
And then you go on to say in your letter to me, despite my best intentions, I find myself struggling to maintain composure amidst the constant chaos and conflicts. And I just kind of laughed out loud when I read that. I'm like, of course you do. Like, this is, you have a mountain. For some people with one child, they struggle. We struggle to maintain composure. We blow our lids. We find ourselves, hear ourselves parenting in ways that we don't want to parent. So, my first piece of coaching for you is to be gentle with yourself and to pour love into you. And that's what I want to do for you right now is I want to pour love into you. You need to give yourself grace. And when you feel yourself blowing up and going, oh, this is, I just sound like my mom or my dad or, whatever that is that we hear in our heads, and you're like, no, this is not who I want to be. Just take that deep breath. And do everything you can to give yourself a moment of grace and say, it's okay. I'm noticing that I'm raising my voice again. I'm noticing that I'm threatening or bribing or doing the things I don't want to do. And remember that Amalisa said, noticing is the first step to change.
Yeah, I
We
love that.
have, right? Isn't that helpful? We
Absolutely.
have to notice if we're going to be able to make a change in our way of being. So that's your first piece. Give yourself grace and acknowledge that you're doing it. Okay. So your most challenging behaviors, I asked you to give me one or two, and the most challenging behaviors are managing the constant bickering and arguing amongst your children and the defiance or refusal that you are sometimes or maybe often getting, which sounds like, no, you can't make me. And you said that that really triggers you, and you are not alone. I mean, I've gotten it as a daycare provider, I've gotten it as a grandmother. You're not my parent, you can't make me. I've gotten it as a childcare provider, all the different things, right? And sometimes parents will say, you can't make me because dad said it's okay. Like, they'll play you off each other too. So, however that looks for you, that is triggering for all of us, that statement. Yeah, I just wonder if the best way to go through this, I do have some ideas of how to support you in those particular areas. And I wonder if the best way to do it would be just to get you to give an example and for us to dive into that a little bit deeper.
Okay, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So, do you want the example from yesterday going to the park?
Sure. Give us like
Okay,
a
so just going.
typical something that you're dealing with on a kind of a typical basis kind of thing.
I think typical basis is primarily going to be the oldest, the 9-year-old. So, anytime that it's time to go somewhere, it doesn't have to specifically be the store, the park. This, going to school. But if he is not in the mood, it's just no, I'm not going to go. I'm staying at home this time. I'm not going. You can't make me, which he's 9, but he's almost my size. I literally physically can't carry him out. So,
Right,
yeah.
right. Which is why that's a great point, which is why I often talk to parents with toddlers here on the podcast to say like we need to start when they're little, encouraging their cooperation and finding ways of communicating with them where they feel empowered and they feel willing to want to do what we need to do together. Because at some point, children are going to get as big as us or bigger. And so that forcing them to do things physically isn't going to be possible anymore. And you're already there.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's look at some of the ways that we can support him. The first thing I want to say about your 9-year-old, he's your eldest. He had, well, your twins are 8 and he's 9, so just over a year. So
Right over here.
he had you for that year or just over a year length of time to himself. As far as he was concerned, you knew that you had babies growing inside for a lot of that first year. But he had you all to himself. And you, I'm guessing, poured that mama love into him in that first year, right? And then suddenly, there's not one but two new babies in his life. Whenever there is a second baby comes along, or a younger baby comes along to any child's life, there can be a feeling of displacement, right? It's just natural. And I wonder, Serena, if you might look up and pop in the show notes the episodes about welcoming a second child. There's a couple of different episodes where we talk about how to pour love into that oldest child. And even though he's 9, and even though he has 4 younger siblings, there might still be some things in there that could help you. And what I feel for him is like he needs to feel your love, like not saying that you don't love him or show him love, but just my intuitive sense is you, we want, I want you to pour love into that boy. I want you to look at, and we're going to come back to that. I'm not going and you can't make me. We will get there. But there's some pre-paving to do around that. That's it comes up for me like how do we greet our children in the morning? So I'm going to look at this as a big picture because the defiance isn't happening in that moment where you say it's time to get in the car. The defiance is building up over the whole day, over the whole week, over the whole month, year, his lifetime, right? And I just want to also say, when our children are 8, 9, 10, 11, They're going through some big hormonal shifts. Most children will come up for another level of defiance at those ages. So I'm sorry, but you're there.
Yes.
So some of this is just natural and normal and not in our control. But let's look at what we can control. I want to ask you, how does he wake up in the morning when it's school mornings? Do you wake him up? Does he get himself up? How does that happen?
School mornings, my husband and I, we both help get them up. So if I'm at home, usually I'm going up there usually about an hour before we leave for school, and the school is like right walking distance. It's very, very close. So I'm calmly, saying, "Hey guys, it's time to get up for school." And then I'm trying to lay out clothes if they need help with clothes, because sometimes that can be frustrating for my girls specifically. So I'm just laying out things that they can put on, and then going downstairs, making breakfast, asking what they
Okay.
want.
Amma needs to dive in. Our life as parents is being a step ahead of the steamroller that's coming downhill. We need to be a step ahead all the time, and it's a lot of work. So I want your 9-year-old. And I know that he is on the autism spectrum, so I'm not sure where this will work for him. And you can let me know. And your 8-year-olds, for sure, those three, and your 4-year-old, they are all old enough to start choosing their own clothes. And I don't want you to do that in the morning because that just adds stress to getting out the door. So the night before, let's add that to the bedtime routine. So, when I was a little girl, I had school clothes and play clothes, and they were separated in the closet and in the drawers. So, I don't know how you do that at home, but that's one really simple way. And with your different children, whatever their specific needs are, getting them to help choose, you can choose what you want to wear tomorrow to school. And if they're like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, then you can say, okay, do you want to choose your bottoms or your tops? And I can help choose the other. Like, do your very best to kind of bring in that playful aspect. Are you able to be playful? Are you a playful kind of
Yes.
mama? Okay, great.
Yeah.
It will be a saving grace for you for sure. And when we get time crunched in the morning, the playful part of us pretty much goes out the window,
Yeah,
right?
it does.
Let's do as much as we can before. So before you go to bed and you're exhausted, and maybe if you're working those late shifts, then this is going to be dad's job. And dad, I hope you're listening because this is your job.
He better be.
The job at nighttime. So this is what I'm saying. This is the big picture. We're talking about him not wanting to get out the door and saying no and resisting you, but now we're at bedtime the night before. So we're going to look at routines today, and we're going to talk about how vital they are for all children, and especially for children with neurodiversity going on in their brains. The autism spectrum, the ADHD, whole wide world of that, all that stuff. Predictability of routines is vital. So before going to bed, as part of the bedtime routine, if that can happen, then helping choose the clothing then, or getting them to choose their clothing then, and making it something like, ooh, what do you think you'd be in the mood for tomorrow? I mean, I like to choose my clothes in the morning because I want to know what the weather is doing outside, but I really want you with all five of those little ones to get this in the nighttime. And
Yeah.
if you can't dive in with all five of them choosing Well, four of them, the little one, they could choose which out, which outfit do you want to wear tomorrow? And they could choose one. You could put two up, kind of thing, right? And the thing about giving children choices is they feel like they have some power in their world. And when I hear defiance is a big part of what's going on, that child is grabbing for power. That child is desperate for power and or connection. Right? So that 9-year-old, he would be my one that I would say, let's go with him first and get him to go, you know, you're nine. You know what you feel like wearing to school tomorrow. Let's see what you come up with. And you have to be okay with his choices. So if you want to narrow down, if there's holy jeans that you don't want him to wear, they don't go in the school pile, right? And there will come a time in a few years, my youngest grandson has turned 13 today, the day we're recording. So there will come a time when he's like, I'm wearing the holy jeans, mom. And so right now, I want you to give him some power. I want you to give him some say about what goes on in his world. Does that feel like it would work with him?
Yeah, that, I think that's a great idea.
Does it feel like that might be missing for him?
I think so. I think I tend to micromanage because I know how much help he's needed in the past, and I'm like micromanaging everything.
Yes, Mama. Yes. All right. So that's your second job. Release, relinquish control. Give him power. If you can give him power where it's appropriate, he won't need to grab at it so hard and defy you in that way, right? He's nine. He needs, he can, he, your 4-year-old can be picking out their own clothes. Yeah, honestly. I mean, a 1.5-year-old, a 2-year-old, definitely. Our children are wired to individuate from us, to separate from us, right? And to become their own human. We are wired for that. And we crave it when we are young. And we need it. And we need to give, we parents need to give them the opportunities to fulfill that destiny. And if we're micromanaging, we're squashing that.
This morning, I think it was, I was getting Andrea dressed, and I was just thinking about that. Like, when do I expect Andrea to just get dressed by herself in the morning? Because she does know how to get dressed on her own. And if our morning routine was her getting herself dressed, then that would take some off my plate too. But it's also like
Exactly.
such a routine, and sometimes it might seem easier if I just do it all. But then in the end, it's really not easier. And Andrea, like maybe this morning she would get dressed on her own, and maybe tomorrow she wouldn't. So I might give up then because I'm like, okay, she's not ready. But maybe that was just not her morning. And if we stuck with it, it would just become part of the
Yes.
routine. It's just hard to change that routine for us moms.
So good. So good, Serena. So here's the thing. Give your children the opportunity to do everything for themselves that they possibly can. A 4-year-old, you have a 4-year-old, Danette, and your eldest, Serena, is going to be four very soon. A 4-year-old can definitely be getting themselves dressed. A neurotypical, developmentally typical child can definitely be getting themselves dressed. They might need help with buttons. They might need help doing pants up. They, those kinds of things. And that's okay. And we don't when we want to give them the opportunities to do as much for themselves as they can, we don't want to force it.
Right.
So there's this happy place in the center of, again, it comes back to, I speak about this quite a bit, us being the observer
Yeah.
of our children, us being the detective. Who is this child? Where is this child in their development? Because every child is different developmentally. Knowing what is age appropriate for typically developing ch children can really, really help. I think we should teach this in high school, child development, but not forcing the issue. So, for example, let's go with your 4-year-olds. There, you could get yourself dressed tomorrow morning. That would be fun. I'm really curious to see how that goes for you. And have them choose their clothes the night before and have them sitting beside their bed, however, on the dresser, on a chair, wherever that is, or in a certain spot where they get dressed. And that becomes part of the routine. Even having the place where they get dressed is part of the routine. Now, Serena, I know in your case, you'd be downstairs getting breakfast and stuff ready, maybe while she's getting dressed upstairs. So if she needs help, you can say, and if you need help, come on, get mama. I'm here to help you. And I know that you have got this, and I'm here to help. Right? So if there are those mornings where they don't feel they're just not doing it, they don't feel, maybe they didn't sleep well. Maybe they had a bad dream. Maybe they're anxious about something that's coming in their day. We don't know what's going on in their world. But some days I don't feel like getting dressed. Like, let's face it, right? Like, there are days where it's like, ugh. And we need to give our children grace. It doesn't mean giving in, but it means giving them grace and saying, one of my favorite phrases, if a child is having a hard time choosing the clothes to wear or putting one of the pieces of clothing on or something, is you is this is the this is the word wording, the script. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes it helps when doing up buttons to line up the collar first, and you show them how you do that, right? Sometimes it helps to sit down to pull panties on and just give them all the information. Remember, when our babies are born, they got nothing. They don't know this world that we live in. We've been here for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, however many years we've been here. They don't know. And I just read something recently where it takes 400 repetitions to get a new program going in our brains. So it's going to take a lot from you, Danette, Mama. It's going to take a lot from you and Dad to just give them that repetition. So let's go back to your eldest. He's 9. He can be choosing his clothes. Do you think he'll get resistance about that, or do you think he'll, like, woohoo?
I think he might be willing to take on the challenge. The
Yeah.
girls might be a little
Yeah.
iffy.
So just be with, if you can, be with one of them at a time and go, here's the thing. Mama realized I've been doing a little too much for you. You're my big guy. You can choose your clothing and we'll put it right here. And in the morning, that'll be one of the things that happens is you get dressed in the clothes you chose. So if you can spin it for children when you're giving them something new to do, that it's an honor, that it's a privilege, that it's a privilege that comes with his age. He's your eldest. He needs some respect around here, right? Yeah. And he also needs to know that mama's got his back.
Absolutely.
So when you or dad are tucking him in at night, just pour the love into that guy. I don't know if you read stories to your kids at night, but 9 isn't too old. There's still some
Yeah.
pretty cool books to be reading out loud to your kids. So if you can take that 20 minutes and read to him, I am making a lullaby album. Sing to him. And sometimes with children on the spectrum, even more, but every child I know wants the same song or
Yeah.
two or three, one or two or three. And I worked for 3.5 years with a little guy on the spectrum, and his favorite lullaby every day. I'm like, which lullaby do you want? Same one, same one. And so
Yes.
we just have to get over our boredom and feed our children what they need
Yeah.
to help them feel safe and secure.
That's
Okay.
good.
So there's a few helpful things in there. As with the bedtime routine, with the laying out the clothes in the morning. Also, you talked about, and then you have to go down and figure out what you're having for breakfast. Figure out what you're having for breakfast before you go to bed the night before. You and dad have your hands absolutely full. You need to make your start of your day as easy. And the more supported you feel by the routines that you create in your home, the deeper you'll be able to breathe. The deeper you'll be able to breathe, the more regulated you can stay. And if you've been listening to us at The Nurturing Parent here for any length of time, you'll know that our children need us to co-regulate with them.
Yeah.
Right? The prefrontal cortex is not developed fully until we're 20 something.
Yeah.
And when we're 1.5, your youngest, not even quite, it's not developed at all. Your 9-year-old is neurodiverse. We don't know where his is. I don't know where his is. You might have an idea. And everywhere in between, you are going to be required to keep yourself as regulated as possible. So when he goes into that defiance, no, you can't make me. Again, we're going to step back a few steps. How is it that you are getting out the door? How is it that you are aiming to go to the park?
Usually I try. I know you guys use the term pre-paving, so usually we're doing some of that. So we're saying,
Great.
hey guys, after we eat lunch, we're gonna head to the park. So let's go ahead and finish eating, get our plates in the sink, and then we need to get our shoes on, or if they needed to change their clothes, then to mention changing clothes, shoes on, that type of thing. We try to pre-pave as much as possible. And usually by the time we're getting the shoes on, so we have cooperation up to the point of getting shoes on, then we start seeing the trouble, the kind of the lag of wanting to get the shoes on, and then like, trip, we've asked, here's your shoes, we got them out of the shoe bin, shoe cubby for you, so let's get those on so we could head out together and be a family and have time. So that's kind of how getting up out of the house is.
Awesome.
My husband's so much better at this than I am, but and he'll so I have an 8-year-old sister, and if she's doing something like that, he's really good at changing the mood, not the mind. And so he would probably do something super silly or super weird because that's my husband, and he would like make it a game to either get out the door or make her start laughing so she would want to cooperate. But and I'm so bad at doing it, like, and especially when he's around, it's easier for me to just flip like that because I know he'll take care of the change the mood, not the mind.
Yeah.
And he'll get into funny mode, or I'll say like, all right, we're not gonna go then, we're just gonna stay home, don't put your shoes on, and we'll just stay. But
Yeah.
really number one at just making it a game, making it funny, and then like chasing you out the door like he's a monster or something.
Oh my goodness. I like that, yeah.
I love that about your hubby.
Yeah.
That's how I am with children too, and that sense of humor is golden. It is golden.
It is.
So here's a recommendation for that eldest of yours, Danette, and that resistance. No, I'm not doing it. You can't make me. When you have a few minutes, not at the time where you want to need to get out the door or want to get out the door, I want you and he to have a chat. And one of the best ways to have a chat is either in the car driving, just you and him, or on a walk, just you and him. Or if you have a backyard, I don't know if you and he could just get out there together and not have all the rest of them. But what I want is for you to be able to say, so I'm noticing that you have some resistance about getting ready to go out the door when we're going, even to do something fun like go to the playground. I get that coming to the grocery store with the whole big, huge bunch of us might not be your favorite. And, but even going to the park, I noticed that you had some resistance. And I'm really curious about that. I'm curious what's there for you. Do you think he might be able to have a conversation with you like that?
I think so. It might take a little digging, but I think so.
Yeah. So when you're digging, do your best to have open-ended questions, not a question where he can say, yeah, or no, like a grunt, but an open-ended question. Like, I'm curious. I want to support you in what you need. And it seems like you have a need for something different than what I'm offering. And we need to be a team together. How can we do that? How can we best be a team? So I love when we all go to the playground together and let's find a way together to make that work. There's a tool that uses brainstorming. So if you think that he could manage this with you, and sometimes 4-year-olds can, and all the way up. So at different levels for different kids. So you want to say, let's work on this together as a problem, like problem solve together, right? So you get a piece of paper and a pen. So maybe you do that. Maybe you take a little drive and you stop and then you say, let's brainstorm together. How can we make it work so that we all get out the door when mama says it's time to get out the door? And you get to come up with ideas and I get to come up with ideas. And we're going to make a list. And then we're going to look at that list together and cross off anything that doesn't work for both of us. And then your job is to write down every single thing he says. And he might say, I get to stay home. So you're going to write on the list, I get to stay home. You can write his name, gets to stay home. And you might come up with some outlandish ideas to put on that list that are going to get crossed off. Mama gets to go to the park all by herself. Nobody gets to come. Or maybe next time we fly to the moon together. That's what we're going to do. We're going to fly to the moon together. And you just get playful with it again. You write it all down on the list. And then some of them are going to be actual solutions. Eldest says, I get to stay home by myself. Mama says, eldest comes to me if he wants help putting his shoes on. Your oldest might need, this is going to sound a bit strange. He might need a little extra babying, a little extra. I just talked about giving him independence, but there's a balance of giving him, and babying's the wrong word, but it's that I've got you. I'm here for you. Do you want mama to help you put your shoes on today, or do you want to do it yourself because you're nine and you got this, you know? And so, but I'm here for you. I mean, I'm helping all these other kids get their things on and get out the door. And maybe he just needs to know he's still your baby.
Yeah, that's good. It
Does that one make sense? Yeah.
does. Yeah.
Nice. And the last piece I want to give you is relating to the and with these episodes, they're just going to be a little sort of almost a teaser of coaching because we could go so much deeper into all of this, right? But the last piece I want to give you and all parents is that piece about them needing us to help them regulate with two of your children with an autism diagnosis, Danette, and another with ADHD. Like, I'm wondering if you're seeing what we call stimming behaviors. So behaviors that we all do. Like if you're tapping your foot when you're working on something in your head, you're trying to work on a paper at school and your leg is jiggling, that's a stimming behavior. We all biting nails is a stimming behavior. They're behaviors that we do that help us calm or regulate ourselves. And people on the autism spectrum tend to have maybe more pronounced stimming behaviors. So I'm wondering if you've noticed those with your children. And again, bring your detective to the game. What does that 9-year-old do for himself to calm himself, that stimming behavior? What do your 8-year-olds do? What does that 4-year-old, again, with an autism diagnosis, what are his stimming behaviors, kinds of things? And that's going to be clues to this next piece. What can you offer your child or children to help themselves calm? Some children, it's water. Have a bath, turn the light down, just some water play, being up at the dishes sink with a bunch of plastic things to wash. Sometimes just that water sensation is really calming for a lot of children. Sometimes people have either some kind of a swing or a hammock inside the house. A lot of children on the spectrum or neurodivergent children want that movement in their body. It's so helpful. Sometimes a weighted blanket can help. Sometimes, if you have a pet or pets, then patting their pet or, talking to their pet. Having a quiet corner or a tent, not their room necessarily, but a space where that child goes or any of the children go. But then if you've got multiple kids, there may be arguments about whose turn it is. So having each child have their quiet space place, that would be recommended. Fidget toys can be helpful. Drawing can be a calming activity for some children. Listening to a calming audiobook or listening to a favorite song, those or music playlist, calming music. So those kinds of things, if you're noticing that it's the bickering and the arguing is, we didn't even really get to touch on that, but if you're noticing that that's escalating, what I want you to focus on is trying to jump in there before it escalates at the earliest spot you can, and offer as a gift, not as a you go do this now, but as a gift. Oh, I think maybe it's time to just get in a bathtub and just bring that child to the bath, the one who likes the water, and just put on that soothing music. Maybe there's some soothing music or a playlist you can make that might just help everybody calm. If you have one child who's noise sensitive, put on the noise canceling headphones or get a pair of those if you need them. So anyway, there's a whole bunch of ideas there, but I hope some of those might be helpful with that bickering energy that's in the house.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, anything there for you that you want to just quickly touch on, Danette, or tell us what you're going to take home and practice? And we really, really, really want you to write back to us and let us know what's working or if you need a little tweaking on something. This isn't working. What am I doing? That kind of thing.
Absolutely. I am taking it all home, but specifically, I know that I micromanage. And so bringing it to a platform and realizing it, stepping back a little bit, and then seeing, like, yeah. So definitely the routine and doing things the night before, doing nighttime routines, going into the morning with being a little bit more peaceful and having that routine already. Absolutely.
Yay.
I think one thing with like the arguing and bickering, sometimes if it's hard to catch in the beginning and because it's so many of them, so obviously the fifth isn't necessarily bickering or anything, but with the four, if they're, arguing amongst each other, it's kind of hard with just one parent or even with both of us to pull this one away and try to talk to this one while the other two are still
Yeah.
going at it. So,
So you know what? Put on some loud music and go dance break and just rock it out. Like that was the
love
other thing I wanted to say was, are
it.
your children getting enough big physical energy out? Because that can be where bickering comes from. So look up online indoor things to do, because you said earlier where you live, there's not a lot of outside time yet. Look up some things to do that can get out that big motor, that big muscle energy indoors safely, that can really challenge them. Yeah. All right. Well, we wish you not luck, but we wish you love and peace and a little
Patience.
bit of ease. And yes, the patience that you
Yeah.
need and that you continue to remember to give yourself grace, Mama, because you are doing it. You're doing it. You're changing the cycle. You're breaking the cycle, and good for you. Well
Thank
done.
you guys so much. Thank you so much for having me on here.
You're more than welcome. Thank you for being here. And listener, I just want to say, wow. And we love all of you. Thanks for being here.
Okay, so before I share with you our beautiful clip and update from Megan, our last month's coaching, live coaching session, I am going to share with you my three gems as always. I'll make it quick. Number one is definitely going to be knowing what's for breakfast the night before. And I'd like to add one thing for my morning routine that has made it so much easier is picking out their clothes, picking out my clothes, and figuring out what's for breakfast and just knowing what I'm going to wake up and actually make. Instead of thinking about it in the morning. And in the morning, I really only make eggs or oatmeal. So just my mornings can go so much easier when I have that all planned out. Number two is going to be have a chat with her son, maybe one-on-one in the car or walking. And for me, just hearing those moments and something special like that. And it seems like nothing, but having one-on-one time with one child when you have multiple, I think, is very underestimated because it's intimate. It's a lot more intimate than when you're all together, and it really helps you bond and form that connection and look at each other like you're on each other's team because you have a more intimate connection. And then lastly, offering those relaxing things like water play or outside or movement, but offering those as a reward and not like punishment. So if somebody seems, if water play is calming for one of them, maybe they should go take a bath. So telling them it's bath time, but in a way that it's a gift and not like a punishment, like, okay, now get in the bath. I've done that before because I know my youngest, she loves water play. She hates taking a shower, but I know, or a bath, but I know when she's in it, she loves just being in the water and playing. So that can be a gift and it doesn't have to be a punishment, and that's all in the tone. So, yeah, I think we left our super mom with a lot. But hopefully she found it helpful. I found it helpful just listening and reflecting and looking on how I'm parenting. And yeah, so here is Megan's clip from last month's coaching session. Super cute. Listen.
Hey, Annalisa and Serena. Just wanted to give you both an update of how we are doing since our live coaching session that we did. And I'm happy to say that we are doing great. I had a really good meeting with the daycare staff, and they were very receptive to my feedback around how much movement the kids were getting, and also, my son's need for connection when he's perhaps displaying less than desirable behavior. And just based on my own healing, I've really come to a place of no longer fearing that he will be labeled as a bad child. And I'm just able to hold so much more space for him when he's experiencing difficult emotions. And I'm just sort of loving him through it. But I'd say the biggest takeaway from that for me was, the day-to-day, how we as a family operate. And we've always been really, really active and lovers of the outdoors. But now it's kind of like a non-negotiable daily commitment to get outside and to explore and move our bodies with our son. And then also just getting really into imagination play and, his creativity. It's really beautiful to watch and to go deep with him. And so thank you for not just that episode, but the other ones as well that have been so helpful.
I just want to say, I think the nurturing parent has been a place that's bringing, is a place where all these nurturing, caring, intentional, really devoted parents can come and just keep trying to do better every day. I think the moms that have showed up for our coaching or have submitted to Q&A have been doing amazing. I love how aware they are. And I love being surrounded by other moms and, well, parents who are just always trying to do the best that they can for their kids. So I really appreciate all of you parents who show up every week. I appreciate Danette and Megan for their bravery. But yeah, we really value you guys. So we want to remind you that we have a Mother's Day sale going on. So if you purchase a coaching package from now till Mother's Day, you will receive 20% discount. So we are excited for that. So make sure you look in the show notes to sign up today. All right, we'll see you next week.
I want to sing with you. I want to dance with you. I want to laugh with you. Oh, how I love to be with you. Aya, 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 aya. Aya, aya, I do. Aya, 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 aya. Aya, aya, I do. Such a short time we've been together. Seems like a lifetime or two. Never knew I could love.